This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2020. Homer, his age, and his legacy. With a lecture from Gail Fleming entitled, Greek Temples.
In 1870, Heinrich Schliemann, a German entrepreneur of dubious reputation, arrived at the site of ancient Troy. He concluded, from his reading of the Iliad, that Troy was located at one of two places in Turkey. And an Englishman who had bought land at one of the two, a mound called Hisarlik, convinced Schliemann to try that spot. Now, Schliemann had had a very adventurous career from Germany, California of the gold rush time, Russia and places in between, and had amassed a sufficient fortune to finance a childhood dream of finding the city of Priam. His methods of excavating were questionable, but scientific methods developed only in the following decades. For example, a lot of the excavations at Pompeii were, what to say, not exactly destroyed, but the King of Naples would hold parties as they opened each new house. They'd sit in the atrium, and there was one particular room, usually off the atrium, where household valuables were kept, including money. And they would open it, and he would just hand it out to ladies of the court. So there are a lot of beautiful things found in Russia because the Countess of so-and-so happened to be at the party at that night. So it took a while to get to what are now, if you bother reading it, some rather dry and dreary ways of excavating. But at least then they don't destroy things. Schliemann's workmen dug through several layers of Troy until he found stashes of jewels and gold, which he declared to be Priam's treasure. Later excavations more carefully determined that level 7A to be the Troy of the Iliad. It was a rather shabby town compared to some of those which had gone before. Now, Schliemann was mostly interested in gold and such treasures. He had a photo taken of his Greek wife, Sophia, wearing Helen's jewels, as he declared them to be. His interest in the remains, might have said, about buildings within the city was pretty small. The earliest permanent structures in what became Greece were the mud huts with brick walls put up by the people who lived in the region before the Greeks. At some point, the inhabitants began building houses around a large room. At one end, presumably the front, there was a porch held up by pillars, while the rear could be either a flat wall or curved apse. This is the megaron, the Greek word for this construction. The Greeks who entered the land in the second millennium built large houses and palaces using the same pattern, but on a vaster scale. The impressive ruins at Mycenae, Tiryns, and Pylos in the Peloponnesus were not unlike Bronze Age palace complexes constructed in the Eastern Mediterranean world during the Bronze Age. If we look at Agamemnon's palace at Mycenae, where some of you have been with us, we find the famous Lion Gate, entrance to the citadel. Now, the defensive walls are massive blocks of stone as found at Tiryns and Pylos. These are sometimes called cycloptic walls because it was said only the cyclops could possibly move them in place. Obviously, they did not come down, so there was some sort of method of moving enormous blocks to position. The lions stand facing a column that is more Asiatic than later Greek, and it was built after 1300 BC. Nothing but wall bases remain of the interior buildings, and there's nothing to suggest a special shrine. Nothing has been discovered that is remotely similar to the great temples of Babylonia or Egypt. In the shaft graves found in burial circles outside the gate, Schliemann found, in addition to gold cups, jewelry, the fine gold death mask, which he, of course, declared to be the mask of Agamemnon. It is not, but nonetheless, he also found various daggers and other beautifully wrought gold and bronze things. Schliemann's unwavering faith in and the enthusiasm for discovering the remains of the world of Homer was an inspiration for later and much less romantic archaeologists, though it is easy to laugh at the naivete of Schliemann.